Today's daf in the Sechet Sotah, brought to you from Eretz HaKodesh, is daf Lamed. So we just got finished with the brilliant extensions of the Dinim of Tumah into Shlishi and into Revi. Now we want to talk about an interesting implication that we had over here, because we started in the Mishnah, we talked about Rabbi Akiva. Until now, for the past day, we've been talking about Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai's approach, who needed a Kal Vachomer. Rabbi Akiva, remember, he brought a raya from the Torah that a sheni can make a shlishi, even when it comes to chulin. Now, we saw that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai did not agree. And the truth is, there are a lot of Tanoim that do not agree. I want to show you that there are a lot, because Amar Vasi, Amar Rav, or some say it was Rabba Bar Isi Amar Rav, that there's a lot of shitas that argue on Rabbi Akiva. There's Rabbi Meir, there's Rabbi Yossi, there's Rabbi Yoshua, there's Rabbi Elazar, there's Rabbi Eliezer. And I'm going to show you that each and every one of these Tanoim disagree with Rabbi Akiva's assumption that you can darshan yitma by the Klicheres as yitame. And the proof of all of these things is going to take us all around Shas, which is very exciting. We're going to be going to all kinds of different places, Mishnayos all over Shas, and I'm going to be able to show you that all of these cases are predicated on not reading Yitma as Yitameh. Let me start at the top, maybe. Rabbi Meir, okay? Now, Rabbi Meir takes us to the Mishnah in Pura. Aha, is that exciting or not? Kol ha-ta'un biyat mayim idivrei sofrim, mitameh et ha-kodesh, uposel et ha-truma, umutar bechulin u'bemaaser. So now, wherever you only need to do a tahira, because the Chachomim said you need to do a tahira, but midiraisa you would be completely tahar. So these were all the gezeiros that the Chachomim made. Somebody, let's say, who goes into a swimming pool, so he's bo rosho v'rubo b'mayim she'uvim, he has to, he's considered to be tame. Or somebody who eats a chatzipras of foodstuffs. Obviously, midiraisa, foodstuffs which are tame can never be metame in Adam, but this person becomes tame by eating foodstuffs that are tame. Obviously, only midirabonan. Fine. How about tumas yadayim? I mean, tumas yadayim don't make any sense. They're completely created by this din of the Rabbanan, where we are places where the Yadayim require tefillah. These are all the Rabbanans. So I want to tell you what the din is of these the Rabbanans. That individual, because we're talking about the equivalent of a sheni, it's metame es hakodesh, uposel et hatruma, but it has no impact on chulin and maaser at all. So, Taina's Rabbi Meir. Okay, so what does that mean? It means that basically, even though the Chachomim say, no, he's not allowed to eat Maaser Sheni, but that doesn't change the fact that the Chachomim and Rabbi Meir both hold that when it comes to something that was only Tomei Midrabanan, obviously holds that a Sheni does not create a Shlishi in the case of Maaser Sheni. Okay, so if that's the case, they obviously don't agree with Rabbi Akiva, because Rabbi Akiva said that it's a deoraisa, that it actually does become a shlishi. So they disagree. Now let me prove to you that Rabbi Yossi, I know, because we just saw that Rabbi Yossi only learned the din from a Kal Vachomer. So according to that, you cannot hold that Alibid Rabbi Yossi Chulin can become a shlishi. Because if he would hold like Rabbi Akiva that chulin becomes a shlishi, he would be able to have done one step further. Because if he did hold that, then all of his Kal Vachomers are extendable by one additional level. He would be able to bring a Revi Betruma and a Chamishi Bekodesh based on exactly the same Kal Vachomer. Because remember, the whole point of the Kal Vachomer is that since a Tvul Yom is okay for chulin, but puzzle for Truma, and the second case was that proved a Revi B'Kodesh, that since a B'chutzah Kippurim is okay for Truma, but not for Kodesh. Well, if Chulin could be a Shlishi, then the first Kal Vachomer would teach us that Truma can be a Revi. The second one would teach us that Kodesh can become a Chamishi, because we've extended everything by one level. And since he only says Revi B'Kodesh and Shlishi B'Truma, he obviously does not hold that it's a D'oraisa to say that a Sheni can make a Shlishi. And he's extending the D'oraisa of which he is aware, namely that the maximum is the case of the Kikar Sheni, and he doesn't darshan Yitame from Yitma. Now let me prove to you that Rabbi Yoshua also does not believe that a Sheni D'oraita creates a Shlishi when it comes to Chulin. This is another exciting Mishnah. This time, it's the Mishnah in Taras. So it says over there, the Tanan, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, someone who eats an Ochal Rishon, he himself becomes a Rishon, Derabbanan. Someone who eats an Ochal Sheni, he himself becomes a Sheni, Derabbanan. Someone who eats a Shlishi becomes a Shlishi, Derabbanan. So these are one of the Yurches Dvorim, that an individual who eats Erchlin Tameh becomes himself Tameh. Okay, so this was a gezerah because people might be eating something Tameh. Let's say you're in Barnea's house. So they're eating something, and it's Chulin, but it's Tameh. And as Barnea will usually do, he mixes it around in a cup or a coffee thing, and he keeps doing Tanufa all day. Well, what happens if he puts some of that drink in his mouth, but that drink ends up being the wine that he's moving around now, Betanufa. And that would be Truma. You're not going to get Barnea to buy wine when somebody could give him Truma wine. And therefore, he'll put that wine in his mouth while he still has Erchlin Tmeim in his mouth. And that would be Metame the Truma. But because of that, we made a gezerah. We don't want people who are going to be eating Truma, eating Tomei food. So we made them Tomei. Fine, but that's not important for us over here. So they said, if you eat... Fine. So now, according to Rabbi Eliezer, it's the same darg of Tuma of the food. That the Gemara discusses in Chulin, why it's the same darg as the food. Rabbi Yoshua says, if it's Ochel Rishon or Ochel Sheni, it's a Sheni. If somebody eats a Shlishi, then he becomes a Sheni only b'nogea Kodesh. But it would not be nogea at all Truma. And what are we talking about? What type of food was it that he actually was eating that he could be Matamayim? Where would he get Shlishi that he would be allowed to eat? Chulin shenasu al tayres truma. So remember that Kohanim used to try to be as careful as possible to get used to the idea that there should be no food in their house, since very often they had truma that became tame the way truma could become tame, and truma is sensitive to tuma and will be makabel tuma, as we've been talking about from the tefuyom and so on. Okay, so they would eat even their real chulin on the darga, pretending that it's truma. That's called chulin shenasar al taras truma. Now, that chulin can actually become a shlishi. Why? Because we pretend that it's truma. And Chazal were koveya, in order to encourage the Kohanim, that will, in fact, min rabbanan, be makabel truma as a shlishi. That's the only way that beheter, this Kohen, might be eating Shlishi b'chulin, because it's chulin shenatzar al taras truma. Now, when he mentioned al taras truma, you'll notice that it was only because it was al taras truma. But if it was normal chulin, forget about what it says in the Gemara now. Rashi has the different gears. Huh? If it was normal chulin, then what would be the din? It cannot be a shlishi. Only taras truma would be a shlishi. So you see that he holds that a sheni doesn't make a shlishi. Because if he agreed with Rabbi Akiva, why did he have to explain that we're talking about chulin shenasar al taras truma? Any chulin would become a shlishi al libet Rabbi Akiva, right? Okay. Now, the girsa in our Gemara is al tarat truma in but al tarat hakodesh lo. That is irrelevant for our sugya. It still makes sense, but it's unnecessarily complicated. Because there is a question, gentlemen, as follows. What is the din in cases where somebody is a Kohen who oftentimes is working in the Beis HaMikdash, and he has Kodesh, not just Truma, and he wants to eat all of his chulin as if it's Kodesh? Will it get the Chumrah of Kodesh or not? So some learn, yes, there is such a thing as chulin shenas v'altaras ha-Kodesh. Others learn, no, the Rabbanan don't support that because it's too rare. And therefore, we're not going to let a person use his imagination to pretend that his chulin is Kodesh. That his chulin is Truma, yes. But that his chulin is Kodesh, not. Okay, so then the diak over here would be, you see, we're only talking about chulin shenasar al taras Truma, which proves that there's no chulin shenasar al taras Kodesh. Fine, maybe it does. That's not the point. But the point is that if it were not chulin that was nasar with an ability to be makabel shlishi, then it would not be makabel shlishi, which proves that chulin greater is not makabel shlishi. That's all that we're trying to prove. And that is true. Both according to Rabbi Meir and the Chachomim and Rabbi Yezer over here, everybody agrees that it's only al tairas truma, not stam chulin. Okay, now, let me prove to you that I said Rabbi Elazar also holds against Rabbi Akiva, also holds that a sheni cannot create a shlishi. Okay, let me prove that to you, because this is actually a brisa, very similar to the Mishnah that we learned just now. And Rabbi Elazar says, the Tanya, the three things that I'm about to mention to you are essentially the same, okay? So I don't care whether it's Kodesh, Chulin, or Truma. It's exactly the same, that if it touched a Rishon, so then the Rishon, whether we're talking about Kodesh, whether we're talking about Chulin, or whether we're talking about Truma, whatever the original source of the Tumah was, it can be Metame Shnayim Uposel Echad for Kodesh. It can be Metame Echad Uposel Echad Betruma. And it can be Posel Echad Bechulin. Uh-oh. So that means that there's no Shlishi. Because you said Rishon. The Rishon can only be Posel Echad Bechulin. Okay, so it can make a sheni, which means that there's no shlishi, right? That's what he's saying. And he's saying it doesn't matter what the source was, it can still make a revi'i b'kodesh. That's a big machlokas, whether to make a revi'i b'kodesh, you have to start with something that is actually itself kodesh or truma, or you could even start with chulin. Fine, that is something we haven't been discussing, and that's why he says, I don't care. And I can now prove to you that Rabbi Eliezer also disagrees with Rabbi Akiva. And Rabbi Eliezer, as opposed to Rabbi Elazar that we just discussed, Rabbi Eliezer also holds that we do not have a raya from Yitma Yitameh, that a shlishi is midera raisa. And that's because we have another Mishnah. And as I said, these Mishnayos are taking us all over Shas. This Mishnah is from Masechet Challah. So that Mishnah says, the Tanan, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Chala nitelet minato rala tamei'ah. Actually, now, gentlemen, the issue over there is a fascinating question. You're not allowed to make chala that is actually tamei, right? Because then you're going to be giving the Kohen chala tamei'ah to eat, and that's the same thing as eating truma tamei'ah. What happens if the Isa is actually Tameh? Now, the question is, will Gabi risk the cow, or will he turn around? That's the question. Those Tzvat cows are pretty powerful cows. What's he going to do? Stand by, because this cow is going to determine what it's planning on doing to Gabi, based on whether Shani makes a Shlishi Bechulin Aliba to Rabbi Akiva. So we are about to put the entire sugya to the test. That's why we've been talking about Parah Adumah here. Gavi is rich. Come on, Gavi, wrestle it down. He seems very hesitant, boys. Very hesitant. Okay. We're creeping a little bit closer. Okay. An amazing Erev Shabbos, Daf Yomi, up in the mountains of the Galil, Baruch Hashem. Okay, so now going to challah. The din is like this. If the challah is givable to the Kohen and it's tahar, you have to give 1/24 for challah. If the challah became tameh, and anyway it's going to be burned, then you give only 1/48. Ah, but the question is, what happens if it's your own fault that the challah became tamei? So there, it's a machlokas. Rabbi Eliezer's shita is that in that case, the Tanakhama holds that in that case, you're going to have to take off 1/24 because it's your own fault. Rabbi Eliezer says, no, that's not good enough. Because if you were metamei the challah by yourself on purpose, you have to make a new isa, which is tahar, and you have to go ahead and take off challah from that tahar isa on the tameh isa. So you're not going to get away with just utilizing the same tameh isa. And you've got a problem, therefore, says Rebbe Eliezer, because you cannot take challah unless it's mechubar, right? It has to be mina mukaf. So how would you be able to take the challah and not be metame it if you're going to have to touch that challah to the other challah before you're able to actually be mafrish from one challah on the other? So says Rebbe Eliezer, I'll tell you what to do. Make yourself a new challah, a new challah dough, and take from minat Torah latameya. How? Ketzad. So here's what you do. You've got two isot. Achat Torah v'achat Tmei'ah. So what you do is you take a little piece of the new dough that you just made, which is Tahar. Make sure that you haven't taken off yet challah from it, because if you took off challah from it, obviously you can no longer use it to take off challah again. Okay. So notel k'dei challah mi'isar shelo hurma challata, and you put it near that tamei, the original dough. Now, you take some of that and you detach it. But make sure it's less than a kezayit. Put less than a kebetza between the piece of your tamei original dough and the piece of your new dough. And then you actually connect them using that small piece. And the advantage of using that small piece is that if it's pochot mikibetza, so then the halacha is that it will not be able to be metame the other big piece. Because if it's pochot mikibetza, it cannot be metame. If you remember, we've had this machlokas a dozen times between Rashi and Tosfos. According to Rashi, pochot mikibetza is mekabel tumasoichlin, but it is not metame tumasoichlin, to other things. And according to Tosfos, it's not even mekabel to masechlin. Fine. In this particular case, we're worried about it going ahead and being metame the isa that you just made, that you kept clean, right? And it had to be a big piece because it had to be chayav and challah in order for you to be able to utilize it to pater the challah on the original isa tmeah. So you put this little piece in between the two big pieces, one of which is tameh and one of which is tahar. And that way you're going to be able to take off challah min ha-mukaf, okay? Then, as you take off the new piece and you make it challah, now it's no longer connected. It's not going to become tameh. So then you end up taking it as challah. That's what I say to do. Whereas the Chachomim say you cannot do that. Okay, we'll see why you cannot do that. Now, that's the Mishnah. We also have a Braita, according to the same Rebbe Eliezer, who says you can even use a big piece in the middle of the two pieces. It could even be the size of a kibetza. So there's two different Tanoim Aliba to Rebbe Eliezer. Now, in the Beis HaMedrash, where they were bringing now the raya that Rebbe Eliezer holds that a sheni is not able to make a shlishi because he doesn't agree with Rebbe Akiva, So the reason that they thought this was a good raya is because they figured like this, Savrua, that the Mishnah and the Braita both agree that we're talking over here with the Isa of Chala that is a Rishon Letumah. Now, the new piece of dough is called Chulin Tvulin L'Chala. This is a third category, gentlemen. Please have patience. It's not complicated. We have the concept of Chulin Shenasu Al Tairas HaKadosh, a Machlokes. We have the concept of Chulin Shenasu Al Tairas Truma, which we just said we hold up. But there's also another concept, which occurs in everybody's home, where you take off something, you make a dough, and you're going to be taking off challah from that dough, right? Uncle Meishi says so. You have the challah dough. You're going to be taking off the truma challah from that challah dough. Now, that means that that dough is prepared to be used for giving it to a kohen as challah, which makes it the equivalent of tairas truma, correct? Because it is tavul, it has been carefully cared for to be used for challah. Okay, so now the question is, you started off with chulin atfulin l'chala. They assumed that according to Rebbe Eliezer, that doesn't make it like chala, because your kavana was not to treat it with the chumra of chala. Fine. So what is it? It's regular old-fashioned chulin. Now, so let's analyze this. If the tamei dough, we said was a rishon, then the little piece that you put in the middle is going to be a sheni. And if it was big enough to be metame other things, let's say it was a kibetza, it would make it a shlishi. Since the Braita says that according to Rebbe Eliezer, I don't care if it's a kibetza. What does that show you? That he doesn't hold that a sheni can make a shlishi, and therefore who cares? Make it a kibetza. Once it's only a sheni, it will not make a shlishi. But wait, Rabbi Akiva said it can make a shlishi. Ah, clearly, Rabbi Eliezer disagrees with Rabbi Akiva. That was what they thought the proof was. Yitzi, yitzi. Oh, this is amazing stuff, man. It puts Tiddlywinks and Sesame Street both together. It puts them to shame. Try it out. You just got to learn the rules. I mean, listen, you have to learn the rules of Tiddlywinks also. You know, it takes time to learn the rules. So these are the rules. These are the rules of the game. Okay. So therefore, if that's the case, what is the machlokas between Rebbe Eliezer and the Chachamim who say, no, you mustn't do that? So my love, welcome if forget. The Marsav, according to Rebbe Eliezer, ain't sheni osa shlishi b'chulin. Ha! Which proves our contention. Rebbe Eliezer is one of those many who argues with Rebbe Akiva. Mashenki the Chachamim hold, sheni is osa shlishi b'chulin. And therefore they say, no, you mustn't do that. It's going to be metame, the challah. And you're not allowed to do that because then you're going to give tome challah to a kohen and he's going to believe that it's star challah because you went to all of this trouble. Omer of Mori Bereder of Kana. Okay, come on. I mean, you're jumping to conclusion. There's so many other ways to understand the issue over here. Maybe everybody holds. Ein sheni osa shlishi b'chulin. And we're talking about chulin tvulin l'chala, and that's good for the machlokas. The chachamim al tvulin k'chala gives it a din of chala, and therefore will be mekabel tuma because it's like truma. Umar Sefer B'Yezrael, it's not. Or I could say exactly the opposite. Maybe everybody agrees that chulin at tvulin l'chala is not like chala, and maybe everybody agrees that ein sheni osa shlishi b'chulin. But there's a completely different issue over here. The issue is, are you allowed to make something tamei in Eretz Yisrael? That's the question. We're not interested in the big piece that you want to take challah from. We're interested in that little piece. Are you allowed to make it tamei? That's the question. A little piece. Why not? Because if you hold that osir ligrom tuma, L'chulin sheba Eretz Yisrael, then you can't even do that. For no reason, you couldn't do it. And therefore, Marsav are mutter l'grom tuma l'chulin sheba Eretz Yisrael. That, not that it's mutter stam, but that it's mutter in order to facilitate taking off truma, meaning challah, that is tahar. So because of that, okay, it's all right. Masha'inkein, the chachomim old? No, It's more important not to be Garim Tuma, even to something small in Eretz Yisrael, and therefore do it what we say. Take off your 1/24th from the original dough, even though now it's Tomei, you made it Tomei, but take off 1/24th. At least you don't gain from having made it Tomei. Okay. Why this is true? Obviously, it's only a Derabbanan. Why the Rabbanan would make such a gezera? Some learn it's because since there were many people who were Urchle Tyrus in Eretz Yisrael, there were even Urchlin Chulin Betyra. So the Chachomim said, don't look, what's going to happen? If people walk into Costco and they touch the food and then it becomes Tomei, and now little would all of these people who are going shopping in Costco and they're buying their meat, then they won't realize that it's Tomei, you know? And they're going to be over on their own Chumra of Ayachilas, Chulin Betaira. So because of that, the Chachomim said, do not go into Costco without going to the mikveh. Okay, fine. Life was tough once upon a time. Anyway, so that could be the machlokas. Okay, so now we're left with a big machlokas between Rabbi Akiva and between the other Shita. So in the Mishnah, we had that Rabbi Akiva holds it's a D'oraisa. Here we've proven from many other Mishnayas that it is not. The Rabbim disagree with Rabbi Akiva, including Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, that we saw in the Mishnah Gufa, argues that Rabbi Akiva. Would it be okay if I do just one additional machlokas, just simple things to get off of the really difficult? I don't want to leave you with a taste of being chased by a cow in the Galil or the dependent on Dinim of Tumah V'Taira. We can make it much simpler. So if you'll give me another 2 minutes even, we'll talk about the next machlokas in the Mishnah. Bo bayom darash Rabbi Akiva. Remember the beautiful drush Rabbi Akiva. On the one hand, it says, Elef Amma Misaviv, right? We give the Levim their cities, and they get 1,000 Amas around the city. The other one says, Umadose Michutzlir Alpayim Amma. No, don't do it, Ari. Keep it on. Alpayim Amma. You do Alpayim Amma, whether it's to the north, whether it's to the south. Breakfast can wait just another minute. No, I'm joking. To the north, to the south. So how come one Pusik says 1,000 Amas, one Pusik says 2,000 Amas? How do you explain that? So Rabbi Akiva says 1,000 Amas is what we give to the Levian. 2,000 Amas is the Tchum Shabbos. Whereas Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Eliezer, but also Rabbi Yossi Aglili said, no, 1,000 Amas is parkland, 2,000 Amas is agricultural use. Okay, so what's the machlokas? Machlokas boils down to whether tchumim are d'oraisa. Rabbi Akiva is following Yeshita that tchumim are d'oraisa, and therefore this is a remes to the shear of the tchumim. Namely, it's the alpayim ama. Umar somar, whereas Rabbi Eliezer, but also Rabbi Yossi Aglili holds, it's a d'rabbanan. Tana Rabbana. Bo bayom darash Rabbi Akiva, b'sha'a sha'alu Yisro min hayam, natnu einehem lomar shira. So they were committed to sing shira. So how did they manage that? Ketzer amru shira, kegadol hamakre et ha'alel. So if you have a gadol, what happens? The chazan, the correct way to read halal, is that the chazan is the only one who says the halal, and at the end of every piska, like the Teimanim do today, they simply review the Rosh Prakim. In Halal, the Rosh Prakim is Halalukah. So everybody just, after every line, everybody just chants Halalukah and so on, right? Halalukah, Hashem Hashem, Halalukah, Halalukah, and so on. Moshe, so in this case would be Moshe Amar Ashira Lashem. Everybody says Ashira Lashem. Moshe Amar Kigo Ogeya. They repeat Ashira Lashem. So in other words, each piece, whatever the beginning of that piska was, they repeat. That's the way most of the Achronim understand it, not that the entire Shira, they said Ashira Lashem. Rabbi Eliezer ben Osher, Rabbi Yossi Aglili, no, it's Kikatan Hamakriya Tahalel. So when the Kotan reads the Halal, you cannot be Semech on his being made to you. Therefore, you have to say everything that he says. So even though he leads it, he says it, but then Hinomim Acharav Okomashu Omer. So Moshe Amar Ashira Lashem. Hey, Nomri Mashira Lashem. then Moshe Amar Kigo Oga'a, then they have to say Kigo Oga'a, and so on. Because here we're viewing it, not obviously they could have been Yotzei with Moshe, but the point was that everyone wanted to be saying the Hallel. And they didn't want to be Yotzei, they wanted it to be themselves. Rabbi Nechemiah Omer, actually, it was like a sofer. Haporeis HaShema beBeit HaKnesset. We have the Chazan saying over the Shema. So he basically begins, and then everybody reads along with him, as you have in the Sfari Beis HaKnesset. And so, Hu Poteach Techila, Vehinonim Acharav. So according to this, the Vayomru Leimor, which we're going to see later again, we'll go through the different ways of reading Vayomru Leimor, but the diuk would be Vayomru, after they were told that they have reshus to say, that Moshe Rabbeinu said, okay, go ahead. So then they went ahead, and everybody was zeicha to Hashras Hashchina, and they were able to say it together with him, not in response to him. By the way, there's a Tosis over here that's a little bit strange, because Tosis brings in a Tosefta, that the meaning of the Hema Onim is that they completed the statement. So in other words, if Moshe Rabbeinu is Ashir Al Hashem, then they would say Kigo Oga, and so on and so forth. So it's like in the beginning of each pasuk, Moshe said, and they said also with Ruach HaKodesh, they said the end of the pasuk. But the truth is, as the Marshal points out, that in the Tanchuma, that Shita is a fourth Shita. That's Rav Tidoi's Shita. That's not like any of what we have over here. It's not like Rabbi Nechemiah. It's not like Rabbi Eliezer ben Osher, Rabbi Yossi Aglili. And it's not the way that we said it originally at the Netanya Kama. So exactly why Tosis brings it as the explanation here is a little bit funny, unless, you know, with some toes in the Girsa. Anyway, so what are they arguing with over here, these three shitas that we have? B'maika miflagei? Well, the question is like this. How do we understand the Vayamru Leimor? What's Leimor mean? I mean, Bishlam of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling Moshe Rabbeinu, okay, this is what you should say, and you say it to them. That's one thing, but over here it's Moshe Rabbeinu telling them. So Vayamru, what's the Leimor? So what it means is, therefore, according to Rabbi Akiva, Leimor goes back to Amilta Kamaita. So in other words, they should say these words, Ashir Al Hashem, which means that they should continually say Ashir Al Hashem. Whatever it is that I'm going to sing, they should say Ashir Al Hashem. Rabbi Eliezer, Ben Osher, Rabbi Yosef, Lili Sofer. No, it's going on everything that I say, you say. Vayomru Leimor. So you say it also. And then, according to Rabbi Nechemiah, the Vayomru, that's a given that everybody's going to say it together, not repeat after me. The Leimor is the Rishus that Moshe Rabbeinu gave by being Poteach Petchila, and he said, okay, guys, get ready to say, and he started, and that's like the Poreis Al Shema. So he was Potach Moshe Beresha, Tana Rabbanan. Dorash Rabbi Yossi Aglili, Bisha'ah Shalu Yisroel, Min Hayam Natnu Eneihem Lomar Shira, V'Ketzad Amru Shira. So this Shira was sung not just by those who are fully grown and they were able to sing on their own normally. This was even Olel Mutala Berkeimo, Tinok Yonek Mishadeimo, Kivan Shira Uat Hashchina, Olalik biat savarov etinok shamat admi piv. So over here we're going to derish the pasuk that zekeli van veu was said even by nursing infants. So they would drop the mother's nipple from their mouth and they would shout zekeli van veu. And the olalim, which is a slightly older, mi olal ad yonek, as Rashi points out. So that means always from the Morink Olal, the older one, to the Yonek. So the Olal was like toddlers or children that were very young and they were sitting on the mother's lap. They would lift up their head and they would say, Zekeli v'anveil. Where's the diuk? Shenemar mipi olalim v'yonekim yisav to'oz. So that oz, oziv v'zimrat ka, that was mamish said by olalim v'yonekim. Rabbi Meir says it's more than that. It was even afilu ubarim shubimeim amamru shira. Not only those that were already born, but even those who were still in utero. Shenema, b'makhelot baruch Elohim, Hashem mimikor Yisrael. So these makhelot that everybody was saying, all of Klal Yisrael, at the Yam Suf, it was also mimikor Yisrael. It also came from the Rechem, which is called the Mikor. But wait, I mean, they couldn't, how could they say Zekeli? Ze means by definition that you're able to point to something and identify it, Ze. So how could they say Ze if they didn't see it, if they were in utero? Golochoz, Omrebi Tanchum, Keres na Selem, Kas Paklaria, Hamira, Virau. So the actual skin of the abdomen of the mother became clear like glass. Okay, I mean, the obvious, as the Mefarshim explained, the obvious reference over here is to the concept of Aspaklaria Meira, in which Rasa Shivcha Alayam Ashalora Yecheskel. So that means that since we're talking over here about a vision of the Vias, that vision was Shayach exactly to the Ubarim as was to anybody else. And so because of that, the remez, of course, for Hespeklari Meir is clear.